Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. As always, it is such a privilege to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mail, it is Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is George. He's listening in Tacoma, Washington, Sirius XM 131. Hi, George.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, first of all, I just want to say that I'm a new monthly contributor to your ministry, and it's a real privilege and a joy to do that.
Bless you. Thank you.
I want to ask you if you have read a book called The Healing Jesus by Richard Roberts.
I have not. I have read a lot of Richard Roberts over the years when I was writing a book called Counterfeit Revival as well as Christianity in Crisis. I was reading through his materials and listening to him. I guess I finally had my fill.
Well, what I wanted to ask you was, one of my relatives had said that I needed to watch Richard Roberts on Kenneth Copeland's program. And what I want to ask you about was a couple comments that Richard Roberts made that seemed very problematic to me. Number one was he said that before his father, Oral Roberts, died, he told Richard Roberts that the tent or revival tent anointing would be coming back to Christianity. And Richard Roberts said that once he got that, basically this double anointing from his father, he was saying on Kenneth Copeland's program that people that are amputees, we're going to start seeing this huge number of people without legs and arms. All of that is going to be restored to people. And when he said right as Oral Roberts was slipping away, he said he saw two angels appear in the room that were so tall, their heads stuck through the ceiling, and they actually reached into Oral Roberts' body and pulled out his spirit. So that was somewhat problematic for me, a little disturbing, but I think what I really want to ask you was, Richard Roberts pretty much said that we should never pray for any kind of healing or any kind of miracle from the Lord and say, if it's your will. He says we should never pray that way, because that is not accepting the fact that God always wants to heal us, and that's not the way God's miracle power works through people like him, people like Kenneth Copeland. He says we're all born with faith. I took notes on this so that I wouldn't misquote him, but he said we're all born with faith. We release our faith when, like, he prays for us and he sends the word to us. We release our faith. We curse whatever that sickness is in our body, and we claim that healing. And he says healing force is something that we cannot see. So I was thinking, well, that all sounds wonderful. But I was thinking that person, that Iraqi veteran who lost both legs, perhaps, in a roadside bomb. And they hear this from Richard Roberts, that those legs are going to miraculously come back if they have enough faith. I was thinking, well, what kind of response would Richard Roberts give to that veteran if that doesn't happen?
Well, the fact of the matter is, Richard Roberts and Oral Roberts have been talking about these things for years and years and years. Oral Roberts was a false teacher. I wrote about him in my book, Christianity in Crisis. I think that anyone giving that book a fair reading, looking at what Oral Roberts taught and said, they would say he was distorting the scriptures. Again, why he did what he did, I'm not the judge of. Only the Holy Spirit will, in the end, be the arbiter of why he did what he did. when he did it. But the point is, he was clearly a false teacher. And now you have Richard Roberts, who has taken it to a whole new level. If you want to see just how despicable it gets, again, Christianity in Crisis gives all the evidence and the documentation. But when someone says that you should not pray, "Thy will be done," you know that what they are doing is communicating the abundance of their biblical ignorance. Because to pray, "Your will be done," is to recognize the sovereignty of God over every aspect of our daily living. It's a way of saying, thank God this world is under His control, not mine. We, of course, would be in a lot of trouble if God gave us everything for which we asked. We don't know what's best for us. We only see a snapshot. God sees the whole of our lives. And if you read through the Scripture, you see over and over again that phrase, "Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done." James talks about this in James chapter 4. Jesus himself prayed that very thing. Over and over again, the Apostle Paul admonishes us to pray, "Thy will be done." So for a teacher to tell us not to pray in this way is simply outrageous. I would also say, though, when you see him on with Kenneth Copeland, you know that they are strange bedfellows in a very, very strange and weird kind of a religious paradigm. For example, Copeland said he was shocked when he found out who the biggest failure in the Bible actually is. He said the biggest failure in the Bible actually is God, because he lost his top-ranking, most anointed angel. He lost the first man that he created. He lost the first woman. He lost the whole earth and all the fullness therein. He lost a third of the angels. And then Copeland says, now the reason we don't think of God as a failure is he never said he was a failure, and you're not a failure until you say you're one. Why? Once again, because he's trying to prove that words create your reality. But Copeland has a completely different God to begin with. He teaches that God is 6'2" to 6'3", that God weighs around 200 pounds, that he has a hand span of 9 inches, and he claims that not only God is the greatest failure of all time, but he boldly pontificates that Satan conquered Jesus on the cross. And then he brashly proclaims that Christ went to hell, and these are his words, as an emaciated, wormy, poured out little spirit. And so he is a false teacher saying outrageous things. And when you get the two of them on a show together, Katie, bar the door. You can't imagine what they'll come up with next.
Well, I guess what disturbed me the most was that I have family members that just are buying into this, and they just feel like this is just what's such wonderful teaching. And for me, I find it extremely sad for members in our brothers and sisters in our Christian community that they buy into this, and then if their relative or whatever is not healed of cancer or that limb doesn't grow back, then their faith is destroyed and they're totally confused and don't see any way out. So it really hurts my spirit.
Well, it should. And I think the thing that you're pointing out is the dark hue of the teaching. I mean, people think the bright hue of the teaching is what predominates, but it really isn't. I mean, it might get the most publicity, but the darker side, the dark underbelly, if you will, of these teachings are what hurt people for years and years and years. If you're like a Joel Osteen or an Oral Roberts or a John Hagee or a Creflo Dollar or a Kenneth Copeland, what you are saying is the moment you speak something out, you give birth to it. That's a spiritual principle, and it works whether what you're saying is good or bad, positive or negative. So if your child dies, you think perhaps your words were the cause of that. because everything is a direct result of what you say. I remember there was one of these New Thought practitioners on the Larry King show when Larry King was doing his show. A 9-year-old Florida girl was brutally murdered. And he said that she attracted that horror to herself. Why? Because we're attracting everything to ourselves. There is no exception. And that's, unfortunately, the dark underbelly that you find in the Word of Faith teaching as well. And it is why I wrote the book Christianity in Crisis, which is available. You can find it on the web at equip.org. It's also why I wrote a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. The reason I coined that word is because now Joel Osteen is the biggest of the bunch, and he is communicating a message that is marketed as positive, but it is extraordinarily negative. We'll be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff's magnum opus, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 explains the essentials of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence and purpose, union with God in Christ, life in the Trinity. Simply put, the map is not the territory. The menu is not the meal. And even now, we are called to experience life that is life to the full. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many. The gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one, because Truth Matters Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential historic truths of the Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence and purpose, union with God in Christ. Prepare to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. Here again is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Brian. He's listening in Houston, Texas, on the web. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Hank. When Jesus is in the garden before the Romans come to get him, and he says, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done," I was wondering if you could give me your opinion on what the cup represents.
Well, the cup of his own blood is what is in view here. So the cup refers to Christ's impending death. And according to his divine nature, Jesus willingly goes to his death. He is fulfilling the very call for which he came into this world. And as a man, he wishes he could avoid the impending death because it is the mark of our human nature to have an abhorrence for the very idea of death. And so he prays, "If it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." And this not only underscores the reality that he is the Anthropos, the God-man, but he is without sin, and therefore he completely subjects himself to the will of the Father or to the divine will. In the Incarnation, of course, Jesus Christ is not divested of a single attribute of deity, but he does voluntarily veil the prerogatives of divinity. So Jesus here is speaking about his impending death.
Well, I appreciate that. I think the only confusion was coming, you know, with me and one of my Christian brothers were discussing on whether or not this kind of goes against when we saw him like rebuke Peter when he kind of tells him what the future holds for him, and Peter's like, "Hey, we don't want this to happen to you," and then he rebukes him, and we kind of see Jesus like sort of marching towards the cross to fulfill his destiny. And so I guess we were wondering if that's what the cup and truly did, you know, represent, because, you know, we were wondering if it was a time that Christ like wavered, you know, from the cross. But I was kind of thinking, like, you know, it's almost like a rhetorical question. Like, it just showed his humanity. Like, yeah, he didn't want to do it, but he's willing to do it.
Well, I think there's some truth in what you just said, though, and I think that's an important point. There's the sense in which when Jesus speaks, it becomes a teaching moment for us all, which is to say, this points out to his disciples or his hearers that there is no other way. Jesus was a lamb slain from before the foundations of the world. This was the way through which reconciliation between God and humanity is made possible. This is the way through which death is defeated. This is the way by which we are reconciled. This is the way by which we may become partakers of the divine nature. So I think you make an important point. It's a teaching lesson for the disciples.
Makes perfect sense, Hank. I tell you, before I started listening to your show, I didn't even know what I didn't know. I think the best compliment I could give you is you've really helped to enrich my relationship with Christ and my understanding. So thank you very much.
You got it, and thank you so much for your call and your contribution. We'll go right back to the phone callers. Next up is Cheryl. She's listening in Littlefield, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
I appreciate you taking my call. I'm a new listener, and I'm just learning loads and loads of things, and I just keep having questions and more questions. And I'm a little confused, and I'm hoping maybe you can help clarify some of my questions. I'm still kind of an infant in the Bible. I mean, I was born and raised in the Church of Christ for years and years. I was never really taught about grace. And then I married and I found a church home in the Baptist church, and that's all they talked about was grace. But the more I read and listen and ask questions, a little more confused I am. And one of the questions I have, I was raised to believe that when we died, we fell asleep in Christ, and that we didn't go to heaven, that we were just, I guess, asleep. And I went to a family funeral, and the gentleman that presided over the funeral said, "I want to leave you with this." And he quoted 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, and I've read that verse many times where, you know, they're talking about a day and God's time is 1,000 years. And he said, "I want you to realize that when we die, we will be with our loved ones sooner than you," because he said that even though a day is 1,000 years, he said our family members might have gone on before us, but they'll be there waiting on us like they've been waiting to see us after lunch. And I thought, man, I just never had put it in that type of wording or perspective. And I just wanted your take on that, because it kind of bothered me the last couple of weeks, because I'm thinking if we're asleep, we're not aware. But if we are aware and our loved ones are waiting on us, then we will be right there. Do you kind of see where he was going with that?
Yeah. First of all, the Bible talks about the body asleep in death, but never talks about the soul asleep in death. We have conscious awareness after the death of the body, and that is communicated in so many different places. You think, for example, about the story that Jesus tells about a rich man and Lazarus. Both die, and both end up in Abraham's bosom for the beggar, and then the rich man was in torment. But both had conscious awareness after the death of the body. So absent from the body as a believer, present with the Lord, you're not sleeping, but you're aware of what is going on around you. As far as what Peter is talking about in 2 Peter chapter 3, with respect to a day is like 1,000 years, this is not something that should be taken in a wooden literal fashion. The first clue should be that Peter does not say that a day is 1,000 years, but like 1,000 years. In other words, it's a simile. It's an analogy. It's a comparison. When the psalmist says that 1,000 years is like a watch in the night, a watch in the night is 3 to 4 hours, we don't suppose that 1,000 years is equal to 4 hours. The point that is being made in Peter is that God's relation to the passing of time is different than ours. We think our lives are long, but from God's perspective, they're like a vapor. They're here today, gone tomorrow. So this is an analogy that's being used, and you can't take it in a wooden literal fashion.
Right. So when we do die, our bodies, we separate, and our spirit is with Christ, right?
Yeah, absent from the body, present with the Lord, yes. As I said, the Bible speaks of the body asleep in death, but the Bible never speaks of the soul asleep in death. If the soul did not continue in conscious awareness after the death of the body, it would have been incongruent for the Apostle Paul to desire to be away from the body in order to be at home with the Lord. Remember, he said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, that will be fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far." How could death be better by far if it just entailed soul sleep?
Okay. Well, is there anything that I can study?
Yeah, and I've written a book. It's called Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. I think that book will really help you. It also helps to know the art and science of biblical interpretation. When you do, you don't become more confused, but you become enlightened, because biblical interpretation is a science in that some rules apply. They're not hard to learn, but rules apply, and it's an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. I did a flip chart on these rules that might be helpful as well. It's called Lights on Your Path to Reading the Bible for All It's Worth. You can hang on to get those resources, or you can find them on the web at equip.org. So happy you called. Let me give our contact information as we close the broadcast. On the web, it's equip.org. And do remember our resource consultants. I'd love to hear from you. 888-7000 and the letters CRI. This is a ministry, of course, supported by those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Without you, I couldn't do what I do. That's as simple as I can put it. So your support and your prayers are deeply appreciated, will be used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. In appreciation of your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you his new book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More: The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. Simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.